2023 Prophetic School is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. The word of the Lord is not meant to be romanced with. It's meant to be obeyed. Therefore, if you choose to make God's word your daily bread and your source of wisdom, say then, behold, for your shining will come like the noonday. It would be so bright, it will become extremely difficult for the glory of the Lord over you to be ignored. For behold, the days are now here when the yearnings of creature will be answered, when the sons of God will begin to manifest like Jesus manifested. They would manifest in power. They would manifest in doctrine. They would manifest in character. Therefore, in this regard, we must rejoice because we are blessed to hear these things. And we are blessed to see these things. And to know that the kingdom of God is not far away, but is now within reach. And we must rejoice in this, because these things have been hidden from those who are wise and have been given to us who are simple. Saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now, in this session, we are going to be looking at understanding the prophetic ministry. Understanding the prophetic ministry. You know, while we were in the last session, I saw two documents being signed by governments in this nation, like state governments. I saw two separate documents, and I believe these pertain to two different people, and they were signed. And the Lord has willed it that in this season, when men are saying there's a casting down, He has chosen to remember you. It will not be your certificate. It will be because He has chosen you. So if you have anything anywhere to do with the government, I want you to rejoice, because I saw the Lord Himself signing those documents. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The ministry of the prophet. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 12, he said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at the assignment he gave them. He said they were to perfect the saints. They were to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. And they were to build up the body of Christ. Which means that whether you're an apostle or a prophet or a teacher, basically we all have the same ministry. So you don't need to change your title. All right? You don't need to change your title. We basically have the same ministry, but our approaches will be different because of the uniqueness of our calling. All right? So the Old Testament witnessed the rise of prophets I believe that the first prophet in the Bible was Adam himself. Adam. And we later saw the rise of another blend of prophetic ministry in the person of Abraham, who was a prophet and intercessor. And as it is popularly said, all prophets are intercessors, but not all intercessors are prophets. All right? So please, you need to note that somewhere. But there is something so beautiful about the life of an intercessor. Even when they are not prophets, you will find many of them, the Lord always speaks to them. The Lord always reveals things to them. The Lord always reveals things to them. So, intercession is one of the cheat codes to the prophetic. And if this is true for you, you are going to find that a lot of times, Satan will try to make you so busy. He will get you so busy. You would only remember that you haven't prayed after you are about to just fall asleep. There are certain similarities between the prophets in the Old Testament and the prophet in the New Testament. For instance, or before I give you this point, I've heard a lot of, you know, people preach, and they would say something like, oh, the prophet in the Old Testament is different from the prophet in the New Testament. And then they would go ahead and list a few things, which, as far as I'm concerned, was not justifiable. So I started thinking about it. What really is the difference between the prophetic ministry in the Old Testament and that of the New Testament? For instance, the prophet in the Old Testament, his ministry entailed bringing ministry to the king, which means that an Old Testament prophet was a minister in the king's chambers, because the king depended on them to get accurate revelation about something that they were going to do, or they needed a divine counsel. And even in Africa, our kings usually had that thing represented in the oracle, you know, that was being worshipped as being part of the council. Whenever they needed some form of guidance, they would ask the priest to come. So the prophet brought ministry to the king. Secondly, he brought ministry to the nation, especially when it concerned national affairs. And that's why you will find many of the prophets call the people out whenever they were in sin. And for those who don't like to be called out when they are in sin, it may be a clear sign that you are a bastard. Because the Lord said that those he loves, he will chastise. All right? So the prophet would bring his ministry to the nation. He would speak on national matters in order for the people to remain blessed. Not just shouting fire and Holy Ghost. There must be a direct impact of the prophetic ministry on the nation. Thirdly, the prophetic ministry in the Old Testament brought healing. The prophet in the Old Testament could heal the sick. And you saw that in Elijah, a few other prophets, they were able to heal the sick. In the Old Testament, they could also bring deliverance in time of war. You will find someone like Moses who led the people to war. Joshua was another type of prophet. He led the people to war. You will find someone like Samuel who led the people to war. They didn't stay back. So a prophetic minister is a warrior. You cannot say you are a prophet and you shy away from warfare. You cannot be a prophet and be a Gucci pastor. Because we may be going to war anytime. Believe it. Don't be a distraction to yourself. Let me just leave these people alone. So the prophet brought deliverance in time of war by giving accurate instructions on how to engage in certain matters that later brought victory to the nation. The prophet was also responsible for personal guidance and prophecy. The prophet was also in the area of miracles and intercession. Now, in the New Testament, the prophet carries over all these functions that I've mentioned in the Old Testament. But the bias of the New Testament prophet is first of all to the body of Christ. Come on now. The bias of the New Testament prophet is to the people of God. So if somebody comes to me now and says, oh, I have a problem. Oh, can you pray for me? I can pray for you, but my first concern is, are you born again? That's the first concern. Forget about the prophecy. You may not even need a prophecy by the time I pray for you, but you need to give your life to Christ. It's a redemptive work. But first, the bias is to the people of God. Secondly, the prophet in the Old Testament could only prophesy when he was temporarily connected to the Holy Spirit. But in our days, we have the Holy Spirit living in us completely, 100%, 24 hours. And if the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, where do you think the prophetic word is going to come from? It's going to come from within you, because some of you are doubting the gift of God in your spirit. And you need to understand that if the grace of God, if the Spirit of God is inside your spirit, the unction will flow from there. Yes, there is a spirit within and there's a spirit upon, but the prophets of the Old Testament didn't have the spirit within. Which means that the moment the prophetic anointing lifted, they could not operate by faith. They became ordinary men. Another difference is that the New Testament prophet prophesies through the Spirit of Christ. How for God in sundry times spoke to us by his prophet, but in these last days, in Hebrews chapter 1, speaks to us by his Son. That means a true prophetic word must have a bias for Christ. If you take a prophetic word, it must reflect the Spirit of God. It is not telling people what they were yesterday. It's such a shame to even talk about some of these things. What they were yesterday, those things, yes, they are there, but that's not really the prophetic ministry. Because the prophetic ministry is not showbiz. I'm telling you what the prophetic ministry is not. It's not showbiz. It's not some form of entertainment. That's why you will find that most times, the prophets of old in the scriptures, they lift fire away from people. Showbiz, entertainment, is one of the strongest enemies of authentic prophetic ministry today. And if you are a prophetic person, and the nature of what you do, or where you find yourself, you're always in the midst of showbiz and all that, you have to be very prayerful. Protect your spirit. If you live around places where there's always some loud music, secular music, and all, you've got to prayerfully protect your mind, because you could be corrupted. You just wake up one morning, and while trying to pray, you start singing another song. The prophetic ministry is not soothsaying. Paul went to, you know, preach in a particular city, and there was a lady there that began to prophesy, and she was saying, oh, these are the people that the Lord said will bring the way of salvation to us. Now, if you extract that prophetic word, she was right. But the spirit was wrong. Just because the prophecy is right doesn't mean the spirit is wrong. It is only by their fruit that you shall know them. If after prophesying to you, they ask you to go and bring a prophet offering of 1.5 million. I remember there's a state here, one of the southwest states, where they asked me to come. And they wanted me to come and be holding prayer meetings, praying for them, because the governor could not sleep. The governor's wife could not sleep. They were scared because they had gone into some form of rituals before they won the elections. Now the altar is asking for more blood. In fact, the PA to the governor's wife of this particular state who spoke to me said that every night at a certain time, warlocks, wizards, will have to come into the premises of the government house and the governor's residence and shed blood. They will shed blood of animals. They will dress in white and red robes. They will roam the premises, offering prayers, doing all kinds of things. But still, the governor could not sleep. So they were like, okay, who do we call? This is what the man said to me. We can't call Pastor E.A. Adeboye, because if a Pastor Adeboye comes into this place, you will see it in the news in the next 5 minutes. Oh, Pastor Adeboye is at the government house of so state. So who else do we call? Say, if we call Bishop Oyedepo, everybody's going to know. That's even if Bishop Oyedepo answers you. But everybody's going to know that Bishop Oyedepo is in town. So they needed somebody who was not popular, who was not in that state, that could be brought in. So the PA to the special assistant to the governor's wife met me at a function where I was preaching. And he just said, yes, this is the person we are looking for. Because he saw me prophesying. That's how I would have been a millionaire by now. A multi-millionaire. Eh? Maybe I don't know, what kind of car will I be driving right now? Like, I would have been a big boy. Because the man told me, he said my transport fare from Lagos to their state is 500,000. One way. That sometimes they will send a car to come to Lagos to pick me if it's an emergency situation from the governor's house. Bring me to that state. The state is not far away from here. Somebody is getting his calculator. So just imagine. Then imagine I get there and I'm able to prophesy and the governor's wife likes me. I just come back with like 5 million. Then I will be telling the governor's wife, you know what? We still need to pray tomorrow. We still need to pray. Soothsayers. Soothsayers. Well, me, I wanted to go. I wanted to go, you know, to be a blessing to God's people. But God said, no, I should let them suffer. Now, how many of you can hear, I mean, just a visit, like a 2-hour visit outside of Lagos, and you are coming back with like 3 million, 4 million. How much is my salary every year? Just imagine. Then I go like twice a month. And every time I'm only seeing strange things that makes them scared. And then they always have to, you know, like, please just be praying for us. I'm not, see, let me tell you something. You may find me at the government house tomorrow. I'm just telling you that for that particular one, the Lord said, don't go. This man came to my house. He sat down in my parlor, spoke to my wife, came to the church I attended, told everybody on stage that they will not be seeing this pastor again because the government needs him. Then I too have to sustain the anointing. And I'll be saying, I'm seeing witches here. I'm seeing wizards here. When I was praying, I saw 72 demons. Nobody could sleep. I'm praying now. I'm binding them. I'm binding. Give me water. Give me water. Holy water. Holy water. And I'll begin to sprinkle water everywhere. Governor, go and bring all your clothes. Somebody put charm there. I'll begin to... My brother, that's 5 million. All that drama is 5 million. Holy water everywhere. Don't... 5 million. The wife will be telling the governor, I told you this is the kind of guy we need. And I'll wear a long white robe. Soothsayers. Prophetic ministry is not soothsaying. So when I tell you this thing, don't think that I'm just an angry person. No, I'm telling you because to some extent I've seen a few things. That man could not understand why I refused to come to the government house. He couldn't understand it. And I didn't have any, God didn't tell me to explain to him why. I just told him I won't come. So if God blesses me tomorrow and you see me at the government house, Aso Rock, when my brother wins the election, and you see me at Aso Rock, don't even ask me any questions. You know, I've been turning them down for a long time. So if you see me there this time, just be clapping for me. Don't even ask me any questions. On a lighter note now. Soothsayers. Prophetic ministry is not soothsaying. It is not herbalism or the herbal aspect of the Christian faith where people mix concussions. Some of you have parents who go to a certain church, they come back with several concussions. The prophetic ministry is not concussion. It's not the herbal ministry of the Christian faith. It's not the aspect where we become herbalistic. I once attended a church, I won't mention the name of that church, where somebody was sick, almost dying. And the prophet in that church, they had to call a special prophet who was gifted in strange things. And the guy is told, he said they should go cut a banana stem. Cut down the tree, down, a banana tree from the stem. And he dug a ground and named that banana tree after the person that was dying. And buried the tree. And he said, as I bury this tree, this man will recover. And exactly that was what happened. Come on. How do you like that? Prophetic ministry is not herbalism. This is serious stuff. Because there's one girl, she goes to one of these churches in Lagos here, where they're always saying nice things, how to motivate yourself to success. But the day a prophet on one mountain in Ibadan sent for her, she realized she did. She could not run away. The prophet was taxing, asking us to bring 70,000 per visitation. 70,000. If you tell them, come to church where your pastor will pray for you free of charge, they'll say, no. In fact, one of them told me, sir, pastor, I like your church. Say, but you people don't have AC. Say, you don't have AC. That's what she told me then. We have AC now. She said, we don't have AC. She was going to a church somewhere in Ikeja where the things are always, you know, very cool. But when her mom had cancer, I was the one God used to pray for her, and the mom was healed. Then it didn't matter if there was AC or not. You know, by the grace of God, I just prayed with the mother over the phone. They took her into the theater, they ran some tests, they couldn't find the cancer again. So for those of you who associate churches, the kind of church you go, say, I can't go to that church because they are sitting on benches. You better ask yourself, where did God keep your file? If God kept your file in that other place, you better carry your load and go there. Don't go and say you are looking for where the stage light, where the pastor cannot help you. On a lighter note, but it's a serious matter. Prophetic ministry is not herbalism. Prophetic ministry is not acceptable form of rascality. Some people believe that when you are a prophet, you should be a rascal. Some people believe that when you're a prophet, you should be rude. No. True prophetic ministry is not a license for rascality. You talk to anybody anyhow, you do what you like, and when they ask you, say, it's the anointing, it's the way the Holy Spirit is moving me. No, sir. Your tongue is unrenewed. No, sir. What are the requirements for someone to be called a prophet? What are the requirements for someone to be called a prophet? Number one, that person must have given his life to Christ. Even if you say you are born a prophet, it doesn't matter. You must still be called into the ministry. You must give your life to Christ. There's one popular prophet in this Lagos that died. And when he died, most, even Christians, could not beat their chest to say whether he was a real man of God or not. Only a few people were talking. But the man said he was born again from his mother's womb. How is that even possible? How is that even possible? When even for Jesus Christ, our Lord, the scripture said, today you have become my son. Today have I begotten you. There was a day Christ became the firstborn from the dead. There was a day. Come on now. The first begotten from the dead, spiritual death, Jesus Christ. How can you be born again from your mother's womb? The guy left, died, you know. He said he was born again. I don't know if he's going to be in heaven or not, but I'm just saying, for you to be a prophet, the first requirement is that you must have a salvation experience to be a prophetic person, giving your heart to the Lord. The second thing is that you must be called into the ministry of the word, either by preaching or by teaching. You must be called into the ministry of the word. Glory to God. You must be called as a preacher. You don't have to prophesy every time and be shaking like Shakespeare. The anointing will not always be on you like that. Sometimes it just comes upon you, and the sense of that prophetic wave will be in terms of prayers. And you are just praying, but any prayer you are praying at that moment will be like hot fire. But it's still the spirit of prophecy. Some other time to be like prophetic worship, they'll just be in like a 5-7 minutes, the atmosphere will become so charged. Other times you'll be giving specific prophetic words. The prophetic word is not tied to how you feel about people. Please understand what I'm saying. There's somebody now that I'm not really happy with. Do you understand? I'm not angry, I'm just really not feeling the person. But I had a vision a few days ago that the person traveled abroad, relocated abroad, and I saw the country. So it's not, the prophetic is not tied to your emotions. God will show you what he will show you. He will show you what he will show you. You must be born again. You must be called into the ministry of the word. In other words, you are called as a minister of the gospel. Then you must be equipped with revelation gift, the gift of word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirit. Seeing and hearing gifts. Very important. You must be called and gifted with revelation gifts. Finally, you must operate in the gifts of prophecy. All right? So these are the requirements for someone to qualify as a prophet. And again, let me quickly say this. There is a sense in which you may be called into a particular office, but you must also wait to be commissioned into that office. All right? You might be called, but you have to wait to be chosen. All right? So I hope you get that. Then the setting of prophetic protocols. When we are speaking about how to discern prophetic protocols, it includes the ability to discern atmospheres. It includes the ability to discern atmospheres. Number two, you are able to discern older prophets. When you meet with people who are whose oil and whose anointing is extremely old. Like that man I saw when I went to Ife, and the man, I knew that oil was ancient. Some of the folks who were the direct disciples of Apostle Ayo Babalola, many of them are still alive. But they don't live in the city. They live in some of these villages in the southwest. Because they can't stand us. So they just stay away. So we must, in the prophetic, we must learn to discern master prophets. Those who carry this unction and have been carrying it for a long time. We must also learn prophetic order and systems. We must learn alignment to the move of the Holy Spirit. Finally, we speak about prophetic intercession. This is a unique aspect in the prophetic. People in this field are called to establish the will of God through intercession. Intercession many times involves spiritual warfare. This ministry can help to deal with stubborn territories, very stubborn territories. The ministry of the intercessor, like Charles Finney and Father Nash. That man will pray, Father Nash will pray. If Charles Finney was coming to a city or a village, he would go in 7 days ahead and begin to pray. Pray up a storm. Lay on his face for days and pray. And when Charles Finney comes, Father Nash never wanted to be seen. And it was on record that the converts of Charles Finney, a higher percentage of them remained Christians because they were born through intercession. Some of you are called as prophetic intercessors to a particular man of God or to a particular woman of God. As long as that man continues to make progress, his reward will be the same as yours. So just because you have a powerful hand doesn't mean you have to start a church. The Lord might be dispatching you or deploying you to work with another person or another ministry. And as long as they make progress, you will get the same reward as the senior pastor over there. So you have to stay in your rank. So this ministry of prophetic intercession can deal successfully with stubborn territories and break them open. The prophetic intercessory ministry can steer up and open the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit over churches, over cities. This is a very powerful anointing. It can save a city. You remember that through the intercession of Abraham, he almost delivered Sodom and Gomorrah, except that God already made up his mind about Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm seeing somebody with a growth in the body, and I'm seeing that growth vanish instantly. I'm seeing like a lump. I'm seeing it vanish instantly. And I'm also seeing ulcer being healed right now. In fact, in this case of ulcer, the thing had been there for a while. And you have prayed and prayed, and hands have been laid on you. But right now, it's gone. That ulcer is gone. You wake up a brand new person in the name of Jesus. Oh my God. I'm seeing two people now for ulcer, and the Lord is healing you. I'm seeing him as though he's applying some kind of balm around your stomach, and you are becoming healed right now. You will not have to use your faith again because you'll be healed from today. And that growth is gone. It's going to shrink, and you will not see it again. And once you see your testimony, please send me a message. I would like to rejoice with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Intercession can stir up and sustain revival. Most times when you go to a church, you say, oh, I like this church. Then after some years, you go there, it's like, oh, you are not feeling the vibe you used to feel. Go and check the prayer altar. It takes consistent and systematic prayers to sustain the atmosphere of revival. Sometimes people think, oh, it's the keyboard. Oh, it's because of the way they play their songs or the way they sing. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. There is an atmosphere that has been stirred up by the reason of consistent intercessions. So this is very, very important here. What I see in your life or by your business, you can, or your ministry, you can raise a particular altar that sustains the utterance and the presence and the power of God over that place, even in your marriage, just by sustained by systematic intercession. Finally, many prophetic intercessors have grown to become full-blown prophets. The Lord elevates them, he promotes them. And in the name of Jesus, that is your portion. That is your portion. In the name of Jesus. God bless you.